the Electric Eels of Parramatta.
Oh, the dummy by Kenny. He's going to go up the corner. Look at Ferguson coming across the gutter. And it's Kenny with a flicking bounce. Scores a try in the corner. Sterling looking for a hat-trick. Can he get there? It's a hat-trick for Sterling.
The Eels have won it. Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Well, it is a massive welcome to the Parramatta's podcast. I am Barry. Joined always by my co-host, Bernie. And before we jump into the show, Bernie, huge shout out to Jono, who's filled in for me for the last 2 weeks. I listened to both shows. You guys had a great time.
We did have a good laugh, and we've known Jono for quite a long time. When we used to host the radio show, he used to call in at 5 o'clock every morning, and we've been mates ever since. So we obviously had the connection being Parramatta fans. We were in Townsville at the time, and I think Jono did a great job, so much so that him and I are going to continue on with our Teamless Tuesday YouTube videos. And he's got his Formula One podcast. He's branching out doing his Formula One as well. So I had listened to that and that sounded like the boys were having a good laugh. It went for 2 hours. They had a good old chin wag. So,
wow.
Yeah. So thanks for filling in, Jono. And I'm sure he'll be chiming in for his 2 cents worth. Massive Eels fan. So thanks for helping out, buddy.
Now, I did read some of the show blurbs that you wrote in my absence, saying that I was away with the army learning how to cook toast.
I had to re-record the intro about 3 or 4 times because I'm like, yeah, Barry's not going to like that intro. Like, it just became like 10 minutes of us talking about you cooking toast in the army. So, but you did go away to do some cooking in the army. It was obviously oversimplified by us. So how was it, mate? Welcome back, by the way. And thank you for your service, as they say. Thank you for your service.
Our mutual friend by the name of Ronald, I caught up with him for some messenger beers while I was away. And he made a similar comment. He just said, mate, I sleep soundly at night knowing you're out there defending the country.
I picture you out there with your barbecue fork and you're all good to go and you got your oven mitt on and you're ready to take on the nasty Russians at the moment, mate.
Yeah, so I have just essentially transferred from being infantry over to catering.
Yeah.
And I went away and did basically the first of 2 courses I have to do. And it was essentially 10 days of lots of recipes, really crash course in using the particular items that we have in the field that we can cook on. And it was excellent. I learned a lot. On day 4, we're already smashing out a buffet for like 60, 70 people. And then our final assessment, that was a breakfast. Our final assessment was a lunch for about 100 people. And it was excellent. I learned so many things and a lot of good people and pretty much went to the boozer every night. So yeah, that was pretty cool. Only problem was, I know people can't see this at home, but I cut my hand pretty early on and had to get 2 stitches. And the gym there, which was awesome, had like 4 punching bags. And you know, I like my boxing. So I was like, great, I'll just box every day and be able to, you know, knock some of these beers off and all the food we were eating. And yeah, essentially a few days in, boom.
I have to ask, like, the stereotypical thing in the army movies is the grunt who doesn't want to fight anymore and he shoots himself in the foot. Is the equivalent of what you've done, just, you know, cutting your hand? Is that the equivalent? Is that frowned upon in the army cook? What's the actual definition of it? Cook brigade or what is it?
Well, there's 2. I am in the AACC, the Australian Army Catering Corps, and I am in 11 CISBE, 11 Combat Service Support Brigade. So, no, it's not frowned upon because they told us on day 1, they just said, look, you'll cut yourself, you'll burn yourself, it's going to happen. And I just basically went and got two stitches and got straight back into it. So it wasn't like I was suddenly not doing the course. I did the entire course.
I'm out. You get carried off on a stretcher. Did you yell out, leave me behind, guys? You guys go on by yourself. It's funny because the mental imagery is ridiculous in my head, that I just have you guys running, doing like egg and spoon races and things, like, you know, like that's why we had to keep recording the intros so many times, because I would go off on these tangents of my mental imagery of, you know, what the army chefs are doing. So apologies to you guys. I know you guys are working hard, and you know, you got to feed the troops. It's a very important part. But what you were cooking looked pretty good. You were sending me pictures, and I did actually I did start ordering up. I thought this stuff looks all right for me.
Yeah. It was so simple, but so clever. Yeah. And we had three, but technically four qualified chefs as students in this course.
Yeah.
And even they were learning things. So it was really, again, very well structured and incredibly concise. So basic ingredients, but very flavorsome, the stuff that we produced. Yeah. And that's why I was sending all those pics. But you correctly called it, that you said, mate, you're going to be 105 kilos by the time you come back. I'm 100.
The chicken Kievs, I think the last ones you sent me, the chicken Kievs, although you're not allowed to call them that anymore, I don't know. But,
well, we are calling them that because that's what they were on the menu. So they're chicken Kievs, yes.
The chicken Kievs looked amazing. And then you followed it up with the apple turnovers and the cream. And I just went, oh, that's... he's gone now, like that's like 2 kilos there, like, you know, because they look so edible, like, you know, the Kievs are just nice little pocket size. I'm just like, oh my goodness, I could down like about 10 of those things. But anyway,
yep. And a shout out to Naomi, who basically made those, and they were just tremendous, and she's a qualified chef and she did a great job. So however, mate, speaking of a fantastic female, what about Panattani, Maddie Studden, Bo Vetti Welsh? I mean, the NRLW game on the weekend versus the Titans. We had so many standout players, did we not?
Now, I'm starting to learn their names, and this is like one of those things I was talking to Jono about last week. I think this season's going to be over by the time that I've learned all the strengths and weaknesses of all the players.
Yeah.
And I noticed that we had our pivot out this week. I think she left a little bit of a gap in the team, but they seemed to rally really well. They seemed to get together and they just kept powering on. And I was very impressed with their defense. It was a great game. I'm really enjoying these games. They're a solid team and they've got a lot of heart and they've got a lot of fight, and they seem to have each other's backs. It's a good team. Like, it's a real team effort. And that's what I'm enjoying most about it.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I love the fact that it's just simply an extended season of footy.
Yeah.
So we basically get 3 weeks prior to the NRL season, we get three more weeks of footy and we get our teams to support. So I'm really loving the NRLW. I think it is a fantastic addition, and I'd love to see it extend out a little bit longer so we get even more footy.
Yeah.
But I guess we've got to highlight some of the greats. I mean, obviously, you know, the Parramatta Eels won the match and credit to them. I really think Panattani just threatens at all times. You've really got to lock her down. Otherwise, she just makes so many great bursts.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's just running on heart. Like, she's so committed to what she does. And obviously, she then becomes the momentum for opening it up for those players. Like, I mean, Bo Vetti Welsh is very much, and I think we were having this conversation over Messenger with Jono and your partner, Nick, that she's a female version of Gutho in a way.
She really is.
Oh, she is. She just, particularly when, I don't know if you noticed it, I'm sure you would have, where essentially there was a try that was disallowed in our backyard, and she essentially picked it up and she ran for the quick tap, which is something Gutho does really well. Yeah. And it was just like, wow, this girl is just sensational. Now, obviously one of the issues that we're having a little bit at the moment in the NRLW team is some reckless passing, some dropped catches. There are just a few too many errors in their game at the moment, which over time you would hope they'd sort of like mature out of. But given such a short season, is that possible?
It's very unforgiving. Like, you could drop the ball and it could cost you the grand final. I mean, you and Jono in Queensland base, you're coming down in a couple of weeks for the St. George game. That's the semi-final. That if you guys come down and we're in the semi-final, that's you guys might be coming down and we watch the semi-final for, and that would be awesome. But the season's going to be over in a couple of weeks. So if you drop the ball and the opposition scores, is some serious consequences. And I agree with you. If we can manage to hold the ball, we've got enough firepower in there to score. Like Bovetti's able to length of the field easy. She, you know, just incredible hole runner. She always seems to find the gap. And I just think you're dead right. If we can just minimize, easier said than done. I mean, once you start throwing the ball around, obviously you're going to have drop catches, but you just get the impression that this season could, you know, really go down to the wire.
Absolutely. And there was a little bit of antics from the Titans player, their number 12, Tasman Gray. She started with a head high and then maybe 5-7 minutes later followed up by a crusher tackle and she got sent off and put on report.
Yes.
So if a Melbourne Storm females team enters into the competition, I'm sure she'll be first pick, getting those head highs and crusher tackles happening. Bit of a Melbourne special there, but I think that was fair. I mean, it was quite a sort of, she landed quite hard on that girl's neck, so fair enough.
She had a bit of the Jared Waria Hargraves about her, I thought. She had that little bit of mongrel in her, and I kind of like it. You got to have those danger players out there, but
yeah,
it was a legit crusher. It was a two-person crusher on our best player, so. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, Studden obviously needs to work a little bit on the kicking. She had that hat trick hitting the post. So that was
Seen that in my life. Absolutely incredible. Even the look on her face, she was just like, you could tell she hasn't even done that in training. Like, it just hit the left, hit the right. And it's just like, and then hit it again. It was just like, oh my goodness. And then she got one to go through the middle. But it was a good win by the girls. And it was a strong win. So, you know, we move on to the next game.
Yeah, one of the interesting things I was contemplating was it seemed somewhat like a lot of the kicks when they went for essentially those 2 points came up that little bit short. And do you think that's very much like a gender thing? Do you think it's essentially they sort of lack that firepower in their legs to actually... Because when you look at the AFLW...
Yeah,
their scores are incredibly low and their kicks are nowhere near as powerful as the men. So is this one of those moments where, you know, the girls pound for pound can pass, run, sidestep, score tries, but that's one area where they sort of lack that bone density and perhaps to make that kick, do you think?
Well, I've tried kicking from the sideline myself and I can barely make the difference. And I've always had big legs. And I've always had powerful legs and I've never been able to comfortably kick it from the sideline. I can just basically just get it over my best ever kick. So what I'm getting at, I guess, is the technique comes into play a lot more so than the bone density and the muscles. And I think that we're going to see them getting better and better with these kicks. Once they start getting their technique down, I think that they'll start converting a bit more. I really notice it in the in-game kicks. The in-game kicks, they don't seem to go very far. They seem to go, you know, 30, 40 meters, and they seem to be, you know, floaters. So I think as we progress through the years, I think that's one of the areas we're going to see big time improve, the conversions and the in-game kicking. So, and I think it comes down to technique, not physicality. So we'll see.
Yep. Well, congratulations to the Parramatta Eels NRLW team. A great win, and as you say, let's look forward to next week.
Indeed.
The Parramatta's podcast, for Eels fans everywhere.
Okay, Bernie, time to talk about the men's game versus the Titans. Now, you're in a tougher position than I am because you still have hairs on your head to fall out. if I had any, I'm sure I would have lost a few in that game. No doubt we actually won. However, it certainly... We didn't make it easy on ourselves at times, did we?
I think my heart more so than my hair. Like, I think the heart started to pound. I started to get chest pains. I'm starting to like, oh my goodness, like... And I remember this is just watching Parramatta. You start to get the chest pains. Like, it just, the older you get, the more concerning it is. But I don't know what to say. I really, after 33 minutes, we had scored 5 tries, and we looked to have some serious firepower in offense. And defense was a massive worry. Like, we've got massive concerns, I believe, with our sliding defense. I'm not prepared to just throw Penasini and Simonsen under the bus just yet, because they looked very confused. The look on their faces was like, how come we're not all sliding? Like, they seem to look back at the inside players. Obviously, you're the last man there, and it's you versus three. You've got to try and intercept, or you've got to try and do something. So I don't know where the fault lies with our sliding defense, but it's a serious problem. It's worse than it was when we had Fergo and Wonga Blake issues. It was worse.
Now, let's not say things we can't take back.
They just seem to go in every time they went to that side. And it annoys me because it's like the commentators start, you know, oh, that's great offense. It's like, it's not. It's really bad defense. Like, they just ran it to the left, and, you know, they just seem to catch up to us the whole way. That they were keeping up with us, to be fair. Like, and I don't want to throw Jake Arthur under the bus here either, because youngster, 19-year-old, he's doing the best he can. But this is exactly what we were worried about with him being on the bench. If someone gets injured, and then BA reshuffles the team. Now, as soon as Sean Russell, and Sean's got two broken ribs, by the way, two broken ribs and a punctured lung, and there was no penalty try, there was no, you know, should have been an 8-point try, should have been a sin binning for Campbell. There was none of that. And you look back at Dylan Brown, they changed the whole rules for the Roosters game after he did the exact same thing. They came out and changed the whole rules, and this can't be a thing. But Sean Russell goes off. So instead of having someone like Hayes Perham just run on and you're the winger now, we do the reshuffle. So Wonga Blake goes out to wing now. Dylan Brown goes to centres, and Jakey Arthur seemed to go into halfback. Like, he didn't even seem to go into pivot. Like, it's a massive reshuffle, and I don't like it at all. And sure enough, from the 33-minute mark, we scored 5 tries. As soon as Sean Russell goes off, Dillbags goes to centre, massive reshuffle. We don't score another try. For the rest of the game, we didn't score another try. So there's a problem there. And once again, I'm not going to throw Jakey under the bus, because he came on and he did his job. And trying to stop David Fifita is a three-man job. So the fact that he missed one tackle there, Dillbags missed him as well, and Dillbags is a brilliant defender. So I have to throw it back onto BA. What was his intention of having Jake in the team? Like, what position was he going to play? And I've seen it all across the forums, and it's already starting to divide us. I can see all the Parramatta fans one way or the other. It's like, oh, you know, Jakey shouldn't have done this. And then it was like, back, leave him alone, he's just a kid, dividing us, you know. And we all want to win, we all want the same thing. But what was BA's purpose of having a second halfback on the bench? I'm scratching my head. There's been some rumours that he's going to be filling in for Reed, but he's not going to be playing hooker. He's our backup halfback. So he should be in New South Wales Cup learning how to be a halfback. Now, if you look at what happened in the New South Wales Cup, we had Tom Opacek scoring 4 tries. He's a centre. He's out there learning his trade. He's going to be, when we need him, when we need a centre, he's going to come in. He's like, I scored 4 tries on the weekend. Try and stop me this week. I'm playing first grade again. Hayes Perham was playing fullback. They're all practicing their positions. So we've got Jakey, who should be leading that team around. He should be in New South Wales Cup at halfback, leading that team around and learning those skills. If Mitchell Dillbags goes down, then he can come in. And, you know, he had a good run on the weekend. He basically came in at halfback and he played 65 minutes at halfback, and we looked disjointed. So I don't like any of it. I don't like any of it. I don't like the hate on Jake. I don't think that BA's doing his son any favours by throwing him in the team. Everyone's screaming nepotism. And I think that Jake is going to be a great player, but he's bringing a lot of hate down on him. He's not advancing his skills because he's not playing halfback every week in the New South Wales Cup, and the team becomes disjointed. It's just lose, lose, lose across the board. I think anyone else would have been better. Cartwright should have been on the bench. Hayes Perham should have been on the bench. Like, there's two people who are clearly much better suited to that number seven jersey than Jake.
And for those reasons, not a personal attack on Jake Arthur, but I think he needs to develop into his position. And the reshuffle was an issue that we were facing. Let's go back. There were a couple of things that were different when they ran onto the field. There was a completely new look from Gutho. He didn't have a single shred of tape on his legs. So that was a new look. And then Junior Paulo, he sort of had the Gutho shaved head mullet thing happening.
Is I don't know what's going on with those bloody hairstyles.
Is he going to be the new captain with the different hairstyles? I was like, wow, has he assumed the mantle from Gutho here? I didn't know what was going on. Yeah. But yeah, Gutho had some pretty white legs out there with all that tape not being on his legs, and which is good to see because obviously his knees have sustained a certain amount of wear and tear over the years, so it was good that he wasn't taped up.
Yeah, I think he needed the tape on his hands because he had a bit of the dropsies. He wasn't playing well, Gutho. He had a bit of a shocker, to be fair.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, there was a couple of rare errors from Gutho.
Yeah.
I mean, if you recall when he was on our try line, he picked up a catch which was incredibly low. Like, the skill that he had, like, even the commentators were just blown away by how did he actually manage to hang on to that ball.
Fingertips, so, yeah.
He had a couple of rare errors. Granted, one of them led to a Titans try. And Paulo's really simple error where he sort of stepped over, well, he didn't step over the ball, that led to a try as well. So there were just a couple of things where we made it harder on ourselves. If Moses had have actually converted a couple more kicks, it would have been a bigger scoreline. But as it was, it sort of appeared, and credit to the Titans because they fought quite well, that it was a very tight match. And I do believe Moses was interviewed straight up after the game and he sort of said, well, you know, that was a hard fought win. There's things we need to learn from that match. So,
yeah, Moses looked a bit shocked. He looked a bit. It was a weird game. I mean, let's be honest. It was a very weird game. The positives out of it, I thought RCG was brutal. He was brilliant, it was really good to see him step up. Not that he doesn't always step up. He's always there, but he's continuing on where he left off last year as an absolute powerhouse. I'm not sure what's going on with Nathan Brown. Nathan Brown, I think we're just getting some oxygen into his lungs, playing him in New South Wales Cup. I don't think he's on the outer, but he can't keep him in New South Wales Cup too long because he's such a leader and he brings a lot to the team. So maybe one more week from what I've been reading, he might get one more week in the New South Wales team and then he'll come back. But I think our forwards were good, apart from Junior not playing the ball with his foot, very lazy. And I did notice he did it again in the second half and he didn't get pinged. So he was very lucky.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if he had done that twice, and it was in our own half as well, and the ref let it go, but he stepped over the ball, just rolled it between his legs. So we got a few luckies there. We had three successful captain's challenges, which means that the referee was against us. I don't care what you say. He obviously, if we didn't have the captain's challenge, then that would have been three decisions go against us. As a one ideal, I will say penalty count was 7-1 in our favour. But
can I just say that now I'm in Queensland, that I was waiting today and I was sort of like, there was a newspaper nearby, a Courier Mail, and I was just flicking through and there's a story on the Titans versus the Eels. And the way it was worded was like, you know, Titans unlucky in Eels match. And the paragraph, and it was just shameful, was like, oh, the coach of the Titans really wanted to bring, you know, some joy to his flood-ravaged town. But the Eels with their captain's challenges, and then there's a quote from the coach going, oh, these captain challenges are a load of crap. We've got to get rid of them. And it's like, why? Every single time we challenged, we were actually correct. So why do you want to get rid of them just because it went against you? It was just, it was terrible why they even brought the floods into it. It was a game of footy. We won it. Stop being a little bitch.
And we've had some flooding down here in Sydney as well. Thank you very much. So, it was good for us to have a win at home. Like, we haven't had a home game for such a long time as well. So that's the double bunger. But he did have a bitch, the Titans coach. He was not happy in the presser. Once again, just deflecting. I think the Titans are good. I think that they're going to have a good year. It was a weird game. Yeah.
Yeah, so, it was. However, we got the win, and you made a point a few episodes ago, which I tend to agree with wholeheartedly, that while you were cueing Murphy and saying that we're going to win this year, you did put a disclaimer on saying if we lose the first 3-4 games, that the players could dip their heads and then we're in for an uphill slog. And so it was an important match to win, and it looked at times like perhaps we were going to let that one slip away. I've got to give credit. I thought Ray Stone had some great runs. Yep. When he came on, I thought he was incredibly strong. I did love the moment, and I know it's against our team, but it was still.
I know what you're going to say, and I didn't like it. Very disrespectful,
Philip Savvy. That was pretty funny.
He did a Gutherino on Gutho. The funny part about that is that Gutho actually tweeted the video, so Gutho's on board with the joke. He's all right with it. So,
yeah. Good on him.
I think he took it for what it was meant. I don't think it was meant to be disrespectful. It was supposed to be a bit of tongue in cheek, but at this point in the game, it put them back in the lead, or in the lead for the first time. So I was blown up at the time, so I was not too happy to see the Gutherino getting thrown onto Gutho at that stage.
I thought it was funny.
I'll come around, but I thought Ray Stone was good off the bench. Oregon Kafusi was brilliant off the bench. So they did 30 minutes. Ray did 30. I think he did 29. Oregon did 30, and I thought that they were really good. Maka was not so good. He had a bit of a shocker.
Yeah.
He did, and I think the Iceman had a bit of a shocker as well. Not a shocker, he was kind of steady, but I think we probably expect a bit more out of him. I thought that Reed was really good. I think he went a little bit missing in the second half, but then again, a lot of players did. Yeah. So I'd like to see him step up more in the second half. So we've got to... Well, back to what I did say. I did say, like, we need to get a few wins. Momentum. We're very much a momentum team. If we had lost that game by 2 points, can you imagine? I mean, that really could have... You know, we're playing the Sharkies this week. Sharkies are a good team, and they're coming off a loss, so they're going to be fired up. We're playing down at Shark Park. If we had lost this week and then going to face them, we could have... We seem to panic. Like, we very much get the panics about us. And if we had lost that game to the Titans and we did the reshuffle and everything, and, you know, there's enough Parramatta fans firing up over the win. Imagine how we would have gone over the loss and the expectations on the team, everyone talking us up, including myself. So it was a good win. It was an important victory. So I'm glad that
I agree. It was important. I won't go as far as to say it was good. I'll say it was much needed. We definitely needed to start the season that way.
If you've ever thought about starting your own podcast, then Buzzsprout is the platform for you. Buzzsprout is easy to use, and you can upload a new episode within minutes. The platform has tons of features to help make your podcast sound great as well, like video tutorials, helpful Q&A sections, and a quick customer question page where you can get one-on-one support. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more, within minutes of finishing your recording. Following the link in our show notes lets Buzzsprout know we sent you, and if you sign up for a paid plan, you get a $20 Amazon gift card. So check out Buzzsprout today in our show links. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world.
What are your thoughts, just quickly, on Phil Gould saying that he thinks the Eels are going to take it out this year?
Yeah, that's a bit of a... It's a bit of a commentator's curse right there, isn't it?
That's like a mafia don kissing you on the cheeks, as far as I'm concerned. As soon as I heard it, I was like, ah, damn it, that's it. That's gone.
And even though he's with the Bulldogs at the moment, old Gus Gould, he's still a Penrith man at heart. Now, yeah. I want to mention the Penrith game because they were without Cleary, and both Jono and I were messaging saying, oh, Manly's going to roll them here because we rolled Penrith without Cleary in the trials. Penrith looked good. They looked solid. They looked...
Yeah.
And as soon as you stick Cleary in that team that looked very solid against a Manly outfit, which has a lot of, you know, potency, they managed to nullify Tommy Turbo, and all the super coaches were jumping up and down. Everyone who didn't spend the $1.2 million for him in the super coach were sticking it into everyone who did. But then all the fullbacks across the whole weekend had a shocker. Like Tedesco had an absolute shocker. He only got...
And the Roosters went down too.
They lost. So Pappenhausen played solid. When you look at all the big fullbacks, I thought that Nicho Hynes, good start at the halfback position. So I don't know. I think Souths get Latrell back this week as well. I think Souths looked... They lost to the Broncos, so... The cat is very much amongst the pigeons after round one. It was a lot of weird stuff that happened this week. A lot of, with the fullbacks not firing across the board, with a lot of teams expecting to win that didn't. A lot of people were not too happy with their footy picks this week. Their footy tippings. I think Jono was like none for five or none for six going into the last two games. I've bailed on footy tipping. I am doing super coach, but I've bailed because I just hate it. I got to a point where I was like really sweating, like the Bulldogs versus Cowboys. I would have been sitting there sweating that game. I'm like, oh, you know, and I was able to just watch it and go, ah, that's funny, you know, because I thought the Bulldogs lost it in the last few minutes. The Cowboys try was disallowed, and I was able to just sit and laugh along. But there was a lot of weird stuff that happened round one. I am expecting everything to correct itself somewhat for round two.
Of course. Yep.
So glad we got the win.
I want to point out a trend that I hope is not a trend, but 2 weeks ago we lost Hayes, and now 2 weeks later we lose Sean Russell.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping this is not a trend throughout the season that every 2 weeks we lose a good player. So speedy recovery to Sean. Hopefully he's back soon. But of course, Hayes is out for the season. And, you know, I'm now actually kind of looking forward to Sivo coming back. So
yes,
I'm a little bit excited about that because obviously, as you say, he's unstoppable from 10 meters out.
He's a long way from being ready though. I mean, we do have a very serious issue now with our wingers. Now, the last few weeks I've been saying Wonga Blake should be on the wing. After seeing his flying dive for the try line and he did a Michael Jordan basketball bounce, I might have to rethink that. He jumps really well, but that concerned me a bit. I think maybe he got it in his head that he's got to do the spectacular dive in the corner. It's like, dude, you're so long and lean, like you just reach out and you can get there. So I'm not sure who we're going to be sticking in at the wing. I'm hopeful that Hayes Perham gets into that team. Like Tom Opacek got four tries, but they were very much in New South Wales Cup, but they were very much put on a platter for him by Hayes Perham. And I think Hayes needs to be in the team. And Mitch Rain had a fantastic game in New South Wales Cup as well. So I just like that these guys are putting pressure on the first grade team. This is what I've always wanted. And Kai Rodwell had a brilliant game as well. So that's what I like. I like that these guys are putting pressure on the first graders, and we've still got options, but I don't know how many options we've got with wingers. I think Hayes, it's not his natural position. He's normally fullback or a pivot. So I don't know. Teamless Tuesday. We're going to find out all.
Okay, well, you will see a Teamless Tuesday video back on YouTube soon with Bernie and Jono. And all these kind of discussions we do have on the Parramatta's Facebook page. If you're interested, make sure you send us an invite. We would love to have more Parramatta fans on there. You can always catch me on the Dummy M podcast on all the major podcasting platforms. Mate, you have yourself a fantastic week. Hopefully we are triumphant over the Sharkies down there at Shark Park.
Yeah, Saturday afternoon, I think it is. So I think it's going to be a real tester. They're a strong team. Fingers crossed. We'll see how the boys do.
And as always, mate, click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels.
The Parramatters Podcast. Find us on Facebook.